Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Kinsey. The S&P 500 has gone through its worst week since March. While the VIX is rising at an average of 12% in this last 31 days, what's your take on U.S. stocks from here?
Well, we saw a fairly good three-day sell-off last week in U.S. markets when the talk was most aggressive, I guess you could say, in terms of both sides, in North Korea and the U.S. So I think in the circumstances, we'll probably see a bit of a firmer market this week, maybe even a bit of a relief rally. But I think the real test comes later in the month. We might see a continuing correction because the U.S. markets are quite extended, and later in August, in fact, later this week, there's to be a live fire exercise between the Japan and the U.S., and then the next week there's a military exercise in South Korea. So that will simply put the issue back on the news-wise, I think, at that time. So we probably will see further volatility in stocks, but I don't think it's a cause for major concern as yet. In terms of our own activity, we've been bullish on Korean stocks, but obviously we're standing back a little bit right now. There's other names that we would like to buy in South Korea. We currently along Samsung Electronics, and some of the Korean banks look quite good. And in the U.S., in terms of that market, we like semiconductors in technology. So we've been owning TSM, the Taiwan Chip Foundry, and we've also taken a position in Analog Devices, which is a profitable maker of mixed-signal chips, which are very useful in IoT applications.
Kingsley, that seems a little bit counterintuitive given the geopolitical risks associated with Korea. You're going bullish on Korean stocks. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, I should hasten to add, we've been bullish on Korean stocks for value reasons and in terms of where the cycle is going. The main message I wish to impart is we have been. We're cautious now simply because of the geopolitical tensions that you indicated. If they were to pass, then we would certainly be interested in buying Korean stocks. But right now, we're standing back from the market because there is quite a bit of risk out there. You know, Kim Jong-un seems ill inclined to back down on his own belligerent talk. And President Trump is certainly talking tough too.
Yeah, and so given those two uncertainties, North Korea and the lack of stability within the Trump administration, where's your take on where the U.S. dollar is heading?
Well, look, I think that the U.S. dollar is certainly headed for weakness. We've had a long period of U.S. dollar strength, both in terms of market activity and also the line out of the U.S. Treasury. I think under the Trump presidency, that's changing. There does seem to be a preference for a weaker U.S. dollar, no doubt to assist U.S. in certain trade, global trade. And with that goes a strengthening European economy. So we're seeing a much stronger euro and obviously a weak sterling as a result of Brexit. I would expect that to continue. I think the two favoured currencies for us is euro, certainly because of improving economic conditions in Europe and the likelihood of an ECB rate rise at some point, but also the commodity currencies because we're seeing firming metal prices across the board. So that would be the Aussie and to a lesser extent the Canadian dollar. And then we might see a stronger real in Brazil as well because conditions are certainly picking up across Latin America.
So picking up what you said on the strength of the euro, Morgan Stanley actually predicts a parity in the euro-sterling exchange, which would be a record. Do you share the same view? And if so, what is the possible timeline, do you think, for these things to happen?
That's difficult to judge in terms of timeline. Certainly, there's significant momentum in the euro versus dollar, and obviously sterling is weak versus most currencies. Look, I think it's going to depend a little bit on how the Brexit negotiations play out and whether people in markets begin to get a sense that we might be lurching towards a hard Brexit versus a soft one. So I think it's very difficult to judge the timeline, but it does seem quite feasible that you might get there. The question is, what's going to be the trigger? And I think that that would be obviously a political concern about a worse-than-expected Brexit outcome for the UK.
And given that scenario, what is the possibility then of a Bank of England rate hike increases?
Look, I think that has to be a little bit remote for now. Until they really saw a problem with imported inflation, I think it's unlikely that they would be aggressive on rate hikes. They may wish to, obviously, to soak up some excess liquidity, but I think it's doubtful at this stage because there's just too much geopolitical uncertainty out there that is now compounded on top of the Brexit uncertainty.
Given the rise in iron ore prices, what is your take on the Aussie dollar moving forward?
Well, the Aussie has retreated. Obviously, you know, the present geopolitical uncertainty, it does tend to cause investors to move to safe havens like the Japanese yen and to a lesser extent the US dollar. So the Australian dollar has weakened some in the past week, but we would expect that that's actually a buying opportunity for Aussie. There's a bit of a disagreement in the markets, particularly in Australia, as to whether the Aussie is strong or overvalued or undervalued, or you take your pick. In our view, the Aussie does tend to follow the metals complex and commodities more generally, and they are looking firm. So we're expecting a stronger Aussie going forward.
Now, a currency that we don't talk about a lot, but it's in the news, the Philippine peso has fallen to a 11-year low against the US dollar last week, and it's the worst performing Asian currency in the last 2 years. It's also about to have its first current account deficit in 15 years. However, against this backdrop, it's growing at 6.5% to 7% estimated this year, and other economic numbers look good within the Philippines. So why are markets so bearish on the Philippines?
I think in part that's a counter-reaction to previous bullishness about the Philippines. I mean, there is a good consumer story in the Philippines, and that did attract investors for many years to buying Philippine stocks and the market more generally. However, I think since the election of President Duterte, there's been perhaps a little bit of a standoff from international investors whilst they try to determine what exactly that means for the Philippine economy in terms of his policies. Of course, there was the fight against drug crime, which seemed to be encouraging vigilantism, which I think made some people nervous about social stability. But then, of course, there is a real issue in Mindanao and the martial law there. So I think that so long as you see those conditions in place, there's maybe just a little bit of reluctance to step into the market from foreign investors, particularly when there are other economies like Indonesia, which are very populous and growing nicely, and perhaps really good stories for the long term in terms of consumer and therefore investment opportunities.
So is that the view in Australia that Indonesia is the market to put money into today?
Well, look, again, opinions differ. You know, emerging markets, every investor has a different approach to them. What we seek to buy in emerging markets typically is the sorts of sectors that grow with an emerging economy. So that is typically telecommunications, where it makes sense. We do like the Indonesian major telecommunications player, Telekom Asia. We also like utilities and banks for the same reason, and we've been buying banks in Latin America. So, look, that's our view in terms of emerging markets. They can present pretty good opportunities so long as the macro cycle is favourable. And I think that's really what's playing out in the Philippines, is that the geopolitics means that people are a little nervous about the Philippines right now. It doesn't mean that it won't be a great story going forward.
Always a pleasure speaking to you, Kingsley. That was Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer of Jevons Global from Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.